Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we got Frank Stallone and Kyle Dunnigan chiming in as well. News coming right after that.
The Adam Carolla Show presents Frank Stallone's birthday cocktail party for July 30th. Let's see who's invited. Here comes Italian composer Antonio Benedetto Maria Puccini, the author of Wuthering Heights, Emily Bronte, the founder of the Ford Motor Company, Henry Ford, the founder of H&R Block, Henry Block, is here. We welcome Sid Croft. Bud Selig joins the party. Here comes Peter Bogdanovich, Paul Anka. Arnold Schwarzenegger is back. We welcome Anita Hill, Delta Burke, NBA legends Bill Cartwright and Chris Mullins. Singer-songwriter Kate Bush is here. So is Richard Linklater and Lawrence Fishburne. Here comes Lisa Kudrow, Vivica A. Fox, Terry Crews, Hilary Swank, and Christopher Nolan. Frank Stallone is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Wow.
Party.
That is a great cocktail party.
Frank. Pretty good company there, Adam. Henry Ford. I'll take it.
Good to speak to you. As per usual, the documentary Stallone, Frank that is available Tuesday, January 19th on iTunes, Amazon Prime, Google Play as well. Congratulations on the documentary, Frank.
Well, thank you, Adam. Did you get a chance to see it?
Yes, I did. And shame on us for not loving Frank Stallone more.
That was
my takeaway. Other than a very interesting documentary,
and it's fun. It's a fun documentary. Like I wanted more. I watched the whole thing. I'm like, it's only an hour and 12 minutes. Let's get some more in here.
Yeah, we tried not to bring people down because you know sometimes documentaries about just my subject matter, everyone gets all down. So we just kind of kept it up. I mean, and the funny thing is, I found out there's not one curse word in it. Other than mine, when I got screwed out of my Oscar nomination by Barbara Streisand, I'm the only one.
Frank has, you know, musician, actor, songwriter, pugilist. I mean, had an epic fight with Geraldo Rivera, where you could see that Frank dominated, but really had some skill in the boxing world. Probably the better boxer out of the Stallone brothers.
Well, my brother's a really good puncher, but he never competed. I did. He didn't compete, but he was more of a street fighter. But he was a big puncher. I didn't like fighting because he's left-handed. And every time we fought, I got thrown off the lot. You know, we were doing Rocky III, we were sparring, and he hit me a shot in my nose, just like splattered. So I went after him. We start fighting. All of a sudden, the managers, the agents are jumping over the rope. Hey, boys, what's going on? So I was banned from the lot for like 3 weeks. I said, what'd I do? He goes, you can't punch Rocky. I said, Jesus Christ, you just smashed my nose. That's showbiz.
You guys all grew up in Philadelphia, right?
Well, I grew up in Maryland. My mother got remarried when I was about 7. Then we moved to Philadelphia.
And I'm guessing that's why Rocky was set there?
Yeah. I mean, because it was kind of Philadelphia in some ways, I guess, was untouched territory. And my stepfather, who was kind of a dubious character, I guess he pulled some strings because the thing was totally shot it was guerrilla filmmaking. Yeah, at its best.
I know there's been the pandemic situation, but how much gigging are you doing? How much music are you playing?
None. I mean, I mean, between the pandemic and my two back surgeries, I actually was kind of good that COVID came at the time it did, because I was down for the count with all of a sudden out of nowhere, my back just went out. I had to have two surgeries, and I was bad shape. So I wouldn't have been able to gig anyway, but I'm back now feeling a lot better. You know?
The it was directed by Derek Wayne Johnson, who directed King of the Underdogs, which is another great doc, which is available, by the way, at chassis.com, two S's and a Y, my website with the docs in it. How did this thing come about?
Well, I'd met Derek at a club, and we were talking, and someone said, you know, he just did a documentary about John Avildsen, and he was working on a documentary on your brother. I go, oh, that's interesting. I didn't know anything about that. And we just started talking and, you know, conversation back and forth. And then one day he just called me up and goes, you know what? We want to do a documentary on your life. And I go, excuse me, me? I mean, really? Okay. And I said, and then I kind of fluffed it off. I didn't hear from him a little bit. And I figured, well, it's just, you know, jaw tackle. So anyway, after that, he got in touch with me. I said, are you serious about this? He goes, we're absolutely serious about it. So I gave my Rolodex of everyone I knew from my career that I knew. And I said, well, let's go out and see if they'll do it. And other than two people, which I'll leave nameless, they did it. And it was very surprising to me, but everyone was on board. I didn't even think my brother was going to do it, but he did.
Yeah,
like everyone who should have been in it was in it. Like who were? If you don't want to name names, that's up to you. But I'm struggling to think.
I wanted Mickey Rourke in it.
Knew it.
We know we did Barfly, and for some reason he couldn't do it. And I wanted Carl Weathers in, and he couldn't do it. But that would have been kind of cool. But the one I wanted in the most was my bass player who died. As you can see in the movie, when I opened up his basses, I bought all his basses because I just didn't want to see them played in, like, you know, a wedding band playing like Hobnanna Gila or something on like a Rickenbacker. So I bought the basses, but he would have been great in the documentary. I knew him since 1968. Well, and, you know, he died like he went. Did his gig, sat in the truck, ready to go, had a cup of coffee, bingo. That was it. Wow.
Did, you know, Mickey Rourke is probably clinically insane, but why did Carl Weathers pass?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't really get an answer. He was like on location, or he's busy, or something like that.
A logistics issue,
huh?
Hopefully, a logistics issue.
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, I would have loved to see in a minute. I mean, he's part of the, you know, kind of the Stallone history, I guess, with the movies.
So you say you didn't think your brother would do it?
Well, no, I didn't. I didn't think he would do it because it was like, you know, it was a little far-fetched, to say the least. And then he said, yeah, I'll do it, you know, why not? And I said, once he did it, and then Arnold did it, not that it wasn't legitimate to begin with, but it gave a thing of legitimacy, you know, because like always when actors, they always say, so we want you to do this movie. It's not a big movie. Well, who's in it?
Right.
So if it's like, you know, Ishka Bibble, no one's going to do the movie. But if it's like, you know, oh, well, you know, this guy's going to do it or this guy's going to do it, that's fairly well known. People go, oh, well, if they're going to do it, I'll do it. You know,
how's the relationship with Sly these days?
Oh, great. It's so much better because he moved. He packed up and moved to Palm Beach, and he's got a great house there. He's got his own beach, and he's here now. And he hates it. He's had to come back to do some stuff. And he said, I just can't wait to get back because he loves Palm Beach. You know, that he's always liked Florida. He went to school in Florida, you know, and he just likes it there. It's real loose. You know, I mean, I was there to visit. I didn't see one gum wrapper. I didn't see one piece of trash on the street. I didn't see any homeless. I didn't see anything. It's just people kind of just doing their thing, biking and just hanging out.
I'm going to be in Naples, Florida, Off the Hook this weekend, by the way, January 15th, 16th.
Nice.
We're doing stand-up there. I don't think I've ever been to Naples.
Naples is beautiful. Really nice. Very high-end, very expensive, very nice.
So you said Sly went to school in Florida?
Yeah, he went to the University of Miami. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know why I didn't know that. See, did he graduate college?
None of us graduated. I didn't graduate high school. He didn't graduate college. I finished high school at 23 years old, you know. I mean, I was, we were not academically, I mean, we weren't stupid. I mean, as you can see, that's like maybe an eighth of the books I have. And it's like three more shelves up, but I have probably 2000 books in my house. But I, that's how I educate myself. I just found that stuff I wanted to know and then read it, you know.
I will say this. I will commend you because I was watching television. Everyone's doing the Zoom thing now. And half the people you see have a wall of books behind them. And then the other half have a guitar or two behind them.
Both, yeah, exactly.
Like Gina, both signaling that they're better than I am. And I thought to myself literally last night, I should get a wall of books and put some guitars there so people think I'm a winner.
And you don't have any books behind you, do you?
That's true. I don't, you don't. In
so
the other
she's
room.
Bookless, but guitars.
But I thought if someone combined the two, there would be the ultimate winner. And Frank Stallone has made that dream come true for me because I'm counting two or three guitars.
I wasn't going to do the gold records, but.
And the gold record.
Don't even try.
We could do that wall. But that's kind of over the top.
What year were those gold records from?
Too long ago to remember. Probably when Rudy Valley was singing. I think, 80s, Rocky, Staying Alive, around that period.
Was the, you got to work on the Rocky series and many other things, and you were in them, and you did the music for them, and got you a lot of accolades and all that. Yeah. On the other hand, there's always the association with your brother and probably some feeling like, oh, he's throwing you a bone. When in fact, obviously you're legitimate. We're, looking, what are we looking at?
We're looking at Frank
and Sly. It says the first picture is when my brother was filming Rocky, my first trip to LA, 1975. Yeah. And then there's another picture at a meat factory filming Rocky Balboa, the premiere of Expendables 2. I'm blessed.
But blessing or curse, having a Sly for a brother? I mean,
well, it's a blessing I have him for a brother, and it's a blessing that I was able to be involved in the movies, but it wasn't a blessing like basically how I was treated by the press. I mean, I'd been a working musician by the time Rocky came out for like 11 years. I started in 1965. And the thing was, I loved the movie. I was happy to do it, and it was great. But then all of a sudden, things turned. I went from Frank Stallone to Rocky's brother. And it was like, really, even when I got shot, it wasn't Rocky. They have a picture of Sly as Rambo. Rambo's brother's shot, and he's not happy about it. I mean, come on, man. Like 70 stitches in my hand. It's like, well, they didn't even mention my name. It's Rambo's brother shot, and he's mad about it.
I want you to tell that story, but I do also want to say, it's funny. As a society, we have such a itchy trigger finger for nepotism. Like, we love going, oh, that guy was born on third base and thought he hit a triple, or that guy wouldn't be who he was if he didn't know, or if his daddy, his daddy's a senator. Now he's, we love.
What are you talking about?
That's my son. That's right. But he's going to be a loser.
It's genetics. I mean, if you think about it, look at Bill Walton. His son's a great basketball player. Look at Ringo Starr. His son's a great drummer. John Bonham's son's a great drummer. But it's genes. I mean, if you look at horse racing or any kind of breeding, they breed because of genetics. My brother and I are from the same gene pool. So, but there is something to that. I mean, it's just they don't allow two people to be successful.
Well, it's the same business.
I want to say, A, I totally agree with that analogy, and B, thank you for just making it about white people. Otherwise, we'd be fucked. So, yeah, it's genetics. But what I'm saying is we live in a totally catty society.
Yeah.
And we love, I've sort of figured out, it's like the war on successful people or the war on rich people that's going on. We love to go, oh, that person's just this way because they got that thing, or, you know.
Exactly.
And now we just go, oh, that person's rich, or that person's white. What do they know? Or what do they know about working hard or any of that stuff?
Yeah.
But so you experienced that for sure because of our horrible wiring as a society to go, if his brother wasn't Sylvester Stallone, would we even know who he was? So you've had to deal with that your whole life.
Oh, you know, Adam, I got hammered because it wasn't like, you know, oh, well, that's so-and-so's Glenn Ford's daughter. But
right.
That's different because they're like old by that point when their kids are going into business. My brother and I are only 4 years apart. So it was like a collision. My first album came out and Rocky came out. I don't care if the Eagles, you know, Hotel California came out. Nothing could have eclipsed Rocky. It was just one of those things that happens maybe one out of a billion times that the people just went crazy. And I got caught up in the thing. I mean, I didn't know anything. I was living in an $80 a month apartment in Trenton with a local band. You know, I didn't know, go on the Mike Douglas show. But that's the thing. It's really funny. All of a sudden, I lived in this ghetto in Trenton, $80 a month apartment. And all of a sudden, I'm on Dinah Shore show, Burt Griffin show, the Mike Douglas show, and this, all these big shows. And they would do this. It was great. Oh, Frank Stallone, great. That's great to have you out. Yes, band sounds good. This would be the first thing. So what's it like being Rocky's brother?
Right.
Everyone. So in other words, I was the intel. Since they couldn't get him, I was like the cannon fodder and that stuff, you know?
Well, I hate to perpetuate this, but Kyle Dunnigan is on the line, and Kyle's a comedian who does a pretty killer Sylvester Stallone. Kyle,
it looks like he was in a fire. Oh, there he is. How you doing?
All right, we got to unmute you, Kyle. Sly, unmute yourself. We'll see if we can. No, still
muted, Mr. Stallone.
Is this a real guy or is this like a puppet? Is this a real guy?
There he is.
What are you talking about, Frank? Real guy. It's my baby brother right there playing pranks.
You sure it's not Roy Scheider?
Hey, look at this. Look at this. Isn't he funny? Baby brother making jokes. Look at that. Two Stallones. This is almost like too many Stallones, you know?
Hey, rare. Sly, I do appreciate you being in the dock. I know, you know, you probably did it with some apprehension.
What do you mean in the dock?
The documentary, Stallone.
About your brother.
Frank. Why you got to shorten all words? You're always shortening words. I know what you're talking about.
Listen, after the show, I'll take you out for some froyo, and I'll explain it to you.
What the hell's this? Froyo?
Pacino and Sensible Woman.
Hey, Frank, you want to go? Look at this guy. He was always busting my balls as a kid. Imagine your baby brother busting your balls, you know?
So,
it's not right.
Now, did you, when you have
Frank was a handsome one too, so it wasn't fair.
When you're initially asked to be in the documentary, Frank's documentary,
thank you for using the entire word, Mr. Corot.
Sorry. Were you excited about it? Did you need to sleep on it? Did you need to be talked into it?
Look, Frank asked me to do something, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
Understand? You understand the brotherly love is strong.
Mm.
If Frank asked me to bury a body, I buried the body.
Wow.
No questions asked. I'd have to think twice about it. I did the doc right away.
Did you, this may be a little intimate, but you ever share the love of the same woman? I feel like that would have been something.
I don't know how much Frank wants me to reveal here, but one time, this is a pretty funny story. We had a girl with the, I think they call it a pig roast. Now,
oh boy.
Oh my.
I don't know. Is this too much?
No. Go ahead.
He says fine.
Remember that, Frank? He's smiling. He remembers. Look at Frank. He remembers. Look at that smile. I love that smile. It brings me joy.
I'm not familiar with pig roast. Is that
it's like finger cuffs, Mr. Stallone?
Like putting a pig on a spit.
Yeah. Maybe you know it as pig roll.
Where did this happen, Sly?
What's that?
Where did this happen, Sly?
Oh, look at this acting all innocent. Like he doesn't remember. We were in the Cape there. We were having a good time. Everyone's having a nice time. The funny thing was, in the middle of it, we realized we were related to this woman, Maria.
Oh, no. Was
a direct cousin.
Oh, no.
And the thing was, she knew the whole time, which is disturbing. Me, Frank, we don't know. We're just having a good time.
Wow. That came up in the middle of this activity?
Yeah, was there a lot of chit-chat?
Well, you know, people learn the different things. This young lady was into, you know, relatives. Some people like feet.
Some she had people a family like tree fetish?
We didn't consummate the relationship, did we?
What's that?
We didn't consummate.
Frank, you were hammered. He doesn't even remember. No, we did not finish.
Oh, my.
We did not finish.
Oh, halfway.
Yeah, that's right. You say, you know, this is a little too much for us. We're classy guys. You know, Italians are classy, but the Italian ladies aren't classy. People don't know this, but that's part of the culture.
We were talking to Frank before about who would win in a fight. He said you had a pretty good left, but he was a more experienced boxer.
Yeah, no, Frank is a great boxer. Absolutely. Absolutely great boxer. I don't do defense. If you see Rocky, you see there's no defense.
Right.
I'm going for the punch, the one punch knockout. But Frank's got all the different, you know, he's got, he blocks, you know. He beat the crap out of Geraldo Rivera. You remember that, Frank?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I went in there. I don't know, Adam, you boxed a little bit. You know what I mean? I came in with really bad bruised ribs the first day of training, and they take like a year to heal. And it's so horrible. If someone just went bink, you fall down. And I go, I got to fight this guy in 2 weeks. My brother goes, hey, you know, he's a news reporter. You can't lose, you know. Makes us look bad. So I'm getting all this pressure and everything. I go to the gym in New York. These mob guys come up. Hey, you're going to kick his ass, you know, because he did an expose on the organized crime. Mm-hmm. So now I'm going, wait a second. This is, if I lose, maybe I'll get killed, you know. So they're shooting my ribs up with Novocaine. So I go in there, and I'm not fighting like I normally would because I'm very conscious of that. Mm-hmm. And it was just, you know, one of those things. I hadn't been in the ring in 12 years. And, you know, they said I could fight with 10-ounce gloves and no headgear. I figured I was a pretty good puncher, catch him on the chin. But then I got there and said, wear 16-ounce gloves with headgear, which changed the whole ballgame.
Yeah. That was
so stupid. I mean, I don't even know why I did it. I was like 41 years old or something like that.
That's, you did fantastic. And it was for charity. It was like, I think it wasn't for like you know, mentally handicapped charity, something like that. So it's doing a nice thing. And I'll tell you this, that Frank, you hit him so good. I think there was one more mentally handicapped person in the world after that fight. And it was Geraldo Rivera.
Touching words.
Hey, Sly, we know, obviously, you're Sly Stallone, so you know how to handle yourself. But I should say Sly's going to join us at Naples this Friday, by the way.
Oh, yes?
Live podcast. Right. Not your Sly, our Sly.
Yeah,
although, if you're Sly, how far is Naples from West Palm? Where's your brother, in West Palm?
Palm Beach.
Palm Beach.
Which is kind of next door to each other.
Should blow a call into him, see if he wants to swing by the club and join us at Naples.
Who's this fake Sly we're talking about?
Yeah, it's a... It's not worth getting into, but I know
Adam,
Frank.
Who did you watch the film with?
I watch it alone.
I
got a link, and I watched it last night before I came in or before.
Was this something you expected, or were there any surprises for you, or anything like that?
I was just I know you well.
Yeah.
Or fairly well. I consider you a friend.
Yes.
And I was just kind of ashamed of myself for not having as much respect for you and your career and your accomplishments as I had in my own head. I had rounded down when I shouldn't have, and I was guilty of maybe the same thing most of America is guilty of, which is like, when you really get to know somebody, especially via documentary, you really get to know the nuances of the person and also how sort of faceted people are. And in your brain, it's always just this fast pass thing of like, that person's related to that person, or that person does a little this or a little that. And I thought it was a great documentary, Sylvester.
Absolutely. He's very, very talented.
Yeah.
Grammy nominated, Golden Globe nominated. Should have won both.
You attack me for saying doc instead of documentary, but you, Sylvester, yeah. answer yeah. to Sly.
That's very interesting.
It's a good point.
That's really exploding my brain right now, you know? Like I'm having to deeply think about this.
That forlorn look in his face.
I know Frank.
You know it well.
Frank does a great.
Frank, cute.
Frank does a great impersonation of you, Sylvester.
I don't think he's that good. I don't think he's that. Doesn't sound like me. Go ahead, do it, Frank. You do it, and then I'll do me. And you.
But I don't do it. I don't actually do it as Rocky. I do it like more like how he talks.
Yeah, that's how I talk.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Show us how it's done, Frank.
This show is confusing.
Sly wouldn't talk as punchy as Rocky, you know? So he'd be like, "Hey, brother, listen, today when you do the interviews, just be careful. You know what I mean? Sometimes the guys," so he was almost like Vito Corleone, like when he was telling his sons, be careful. Like, Doc Betts. But so far, they've all been good. Everyone's been really, really nice.
You didn't talk about my whisper, Frank.
Your what?
You left out my intense whispers. When I talk to you like this.
Oh,
left that
really
out. That's
gets
all.
In your ear.
Continue. Continue, Frank.
Well, I have a good tiebreaker here because I pulled a bunch of clips from my favorite Sylvester Stallone movie, Cobra.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. The best film.
I actually like Cobra.
I like Cobra too. And we don't have any clips from Rocky. We have Cobra, so I'll play the first one and we'll see who can sound more like Stallone. Is it
you're the disease and I'm the cure.
All right, let's go. This is going to be brother versus brother.
This is the grocery store confrontation. Here we go.
Come on, man. I got a bomb here. I'll blow this whole place up.
Go ahead. I don't shot her. Hey, just relax, amigo. You want to talk? We'll talk. I'm a sucker for good conversation.
I don't want to talk to you. Now, you bring in the television cameras in here now. Come on, bring it in.
Can't do that.
Why?
I don't deal with psychos. I put them away.
I ain't no psycho, man. I'm a hero.
You're a disease, and I'm the cure.
Die! Drop it!
All right. I think we got a
good
idea.
There you go. Yeah, you know what? You know what I watched last night and I hadn't seen for a while? I thought was really underrated was Get Carter.
Oh, I haven't even seen Get Carter.
Get Carter is kind of like that. Yeah, he's done some cool ones like ICU. The ones that kind of fall under, well, Nighthawks was a great one.
Sure.
Rhinestone. Come on, Frank.
Did you
stop
like
or my mom will shoot you.
Yes. Yeah, that was a great one. Yeah. Rhinestone and Stop My Mom Will Shoot.
Frank talked me into both those films. He said, you got to see Dolly's Cans. And I was like, I'll check them out. And then we decided this would be a great film.
You guys didn't pull a luau on her, did you?
No, come on.
Yes. We tried to, believe me.
We didn't do a pig roast, right?
We didn't know. Well, look, we tried. We tried our best. That's a beautiful, talented woman, Dolly Parton. Hard to resist.
I'll play a shorter clip from Cobra.
Yeah, you're playing the whole movie. Yeah.
Well, I probably didn't need the lead-in part where he was like running across. You know, probably.
But how really got it's through a, the you dialogue. Know what? It looks like a low-budget movie, which makes it kind of cool.
Yeah,
it's kind of like art house. It's like my favorite movie that he's ever done. And it's so sick, and I know no one even knows of it, is Death Race 2000.
Oh, yeah.
Death Race 2000.
Machine Gun Joe Paterno.
That's right.
And he has the switchblades, giant switchblades in front of his car. And in the races, you just see how many people you can kill on this, like, 500-mile race.
No one knows that film.
I know that film.
Beautiful brother, Frank.
Yeah. All right, we'll play one more clip from Cobra.
There's no question that it's the same weapon.
90% sure it's the identical weapon. Mutilating cuts, straight, long, deep, just like the others.
That brings the count to 16, and still this bastard shows no distinct pattern.
Well, maybe there's more than one killer.
Hey, look, this is not your specialty, okay? This is pure investigative police work, not jumping through a window.
I think what we need is to beef up the task force.
What we need is some interagency cooperation. Christ, every department wants to be the damn hero in this case.
Captain, look, I don't want to be a hero. I just want to get involved, all right?
Yeah, you want to
show Lawrence of Arabia next? You're showing the entire film here. I thought we were doing quotes.
Yeah.
Well, there's a great quote from the first when we watched, not just the "you're the disease, I'm the cure," but "go ahead, I don't shop here."
Oh, yeah, let's go.
Great line.
Let's try that.
Classic. No, that's that's like those Clint Eastwood lines, you know? They're just classic.
You want to try it, Sylvester?
Yeah, well, I could. We go, maybe we'll see who says it more like me.
Okay.
A Frank. You want to do that, Frank?
All right.
Frank had actually a couple of lines. We did. They ended up on the editing room floor, but he said, why don't you say, hey, I like shopping here sometimes, but not today because there aren't very good deals.
It's a little wordy.
Didn't flow as nice.
I don't shop here.
All right, so it's go ahead. I don't shop here. Let me hear.
Right, go ahead, Frank. Go ahead, Frank.
Go ahead. I don't shop here.
All right, now here's me. Keep it. Remember what Frank did, but here's me. Okay. Go ahead. I don't shop here. You know? You know?
And a little more gravitas.
Sounds like the Gabby Hayes version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very underrated, Gabby.
Kind of, yeah. You kind of petered out a little bit at the end there, Sly.
Let me try that again.
All right, try it again.
Let me do Frank's line. We do Frank's line?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I don't shop here all the time, but sometimes I do if they got good deals, which they do mostly on Sunday, but you got to bring a coupon, you know?
Wow, I got chills.
That's the part that cut him out.
That was on the cutting floor.
Yeah, but you got some other great lines got in the films, Frank. That one just was a miss, unfortunately.
Oh, I see. He was writing for the film.
He comes up with good lines.
He's punching. Were there any other punch up he had that didn't make the cut?
Yeah, well, he got it close. He gave us the idea for when Drago. I say to him, he says, "I must break you," and then I say, "Go for it." Right. Said, Frank said, what if you go after Drago says, I must break you, say, all right, well, why don't you try? But I don't think that will work that well because I've been working out a lot, you know?
See, Frank's stuff was a little wordy.
Yeah. It was too wordy.
What do you think about Danny Aiello? I mean, how about when he goes, hey, Frank's like you don't hear guys talk like a five-tool guy.
You
can sing, you can dance, you can... But that's like a Damon Runyon thing. Yeah, the guy's a five-tool guy, you
that's
know?
Right.
Being poor Danny, I loved him. He was a great guy, man. He really a great guy. Loved
that's
him.
Right. I would see Frank, always singing at home, music, playing music, guitar, dancing. He was the entertainer. Am I right, Frank? You were the entertainer.
Yes.
That's right.
I was the entertainer. You know, it's funny. Like, I look at my mother in there. She's 98 in there, in the movie.
Wow.
She just passed away. She was a month shy of 99, still drove everything. Yeah, still drove, did Pilates, played the piano every day, piano lessons. So my piano player teaches. So he went over to my mother's house, and he's British. He goes, right, how long's your mom been playing? Like 3-4 months? I hate to tell you, like 70 years. And she still couldn't play a song, but it was great. But she did it.
Hey, Sly.
She played longer than Vladimir Horowitz. You know what I mean?
Frank is the entertainer. Frank is the singer. But I think you did some singing, maybe in Rhinestone.
Oh, sure. Yeah, with Dolly.
Yeah.
I did some, I did get some talent. If you have any of the clips of me singing in Rhinestone, I would appreciate you playing that because... I don't know where it came from. Probably from Frank, you know. I had some in my DNA, some talents. And he did help me with that. Is that right, Frank? Help me sing.
Yeah, a little
bit. Yeah. What was that song? The one with the Frankenstein beer song? What was that one?
I have no idea.
Frank,
I always saw like a quarter of the movie.
How bad a singer is your brother, Frank?
He's not that good. I mean, but he'll be the first one to admit it.
You talk like I'm not even here, Frank.
What happened?
To my face. Come on. Say to my face. At least have the dignity and the respect.
I was living in New Jersey, and they offered me $5,000, which I'd never seen $1,000 in my life. I was so broke, to come out and sing the title for Paradise Alley. So they flew me out, man. Everything was really cool. And then when I got here, they go, they changed their mind. They want Sly to sing it. So he got, poor guy got murdered because movie written by Sylvester Stallone, starring Sylvester Stallone, directed by Sylvester Stallone, title song by Sylvester Stallone. And I said, why did they fly me out? Like, why do they want you to do it? I thought it'd be good, you know? And it was, oh man. And I loved the movie, but.
Was that the follow-up to Rocky? That was the first movie after Rocky?
No, the first movie after Rocky was Fist.
Oh, that's right.
A great movie. Yeah. And then Paradise Alley. And then after that, Rocky II, which kind of brought him back up. But those were good times. I remember, you know, I remember a lot of good times. I mean, like, staying alive was the best time in my life because that was a culmination of like 18 years of failure and then getting a chance to like really do something, you know.
Slide.
Don't you feel like, Frank, that Adam Carolla stole Rocky when he made the hammer? Don't you feel like that was a complete ripoff?
No.
It's getting uncomfortable.
You know?
No, I like the hammer. He gave it to me. I wish you would have fought Geraldo, but you're younger than me. Lay the hammer on him.
I think Adam can fight, right? Adam, can't you fight pretty good?
Adam can fight. Of course, he knows how to fight.
In my younger days. Yeah. Used to be a trainer. Sure, Sly.
Did you ever go to the Left Hook Gym in Canoga Park?
No, I went to the Montoya Gym or the Olympic Gym in
the
downtown.
Olympic was great, man. The Olympic Gym was the best, man. That was old. That's where Rocky was shot, first one.
Oh, was it? Was it? It was a totally old school gym that it was on Hope Street in downtown. Yeah. It was right behind the Olympic Auditorium. It was called the Hope Street Gym. It was called the Olympic Gym. It was called the Montoya Gym.
No, he was at the Main Street Gym.
Oh, at the Main Street Gym.
The Main Street Gym, like when he's going like that, right? Get you the cracker. And like Roberto Duran and all, it was like about 20 heavy bags, two rings, old gym. It was great. Well, and the Olympic Gym was right behind the Olympic, right behind the Olympic Auditorium, right?
Right. Like,
remember that one too.
Parking lot yeah. away. Wait, were you just doing Burgess Meredith there?
Who, me?
Frank? Yeah.
Oh, get your little chicken asses out now.
Yeah, do it. And then Sly.
I don't really know how to do.
Sly, you could respond.
Oh, that's right. Hey, Mick. What are you? Come to my place? My place stink? You think it stinks?
Weakened legs.
Oh, come on. But this girl's got nice cans. Come on, Mick.
You're going to crap like thunder.
Whatever that was.
But I should get a laxative. That sounds terrible.
You get shit lightning and crap like thunder. Something like that. I don't know.
You got to eat a lot of food and then have a problem in the toilet, was the original Ryan Frank wrote.
Yeah, it was. It was.
We had a good time as a kid, me and Frank, too, didn't we?
Growing up. So I'm kind of looking forward to this thing coming out, see how people react to it.
I think, judging from it, the reaction can only be positive. I don't know if it's gotten any Rotten Tomatoes scores. What do we think? Oh, curious if it has any Rotten Tomatoes. The audience had to love it. I'm sure the critics did too.
Is Rotten Tomatoes good, or is that like the Razzie Awards? Or
no, it's good.
It's a rating system.
What do you think the lowest Sly Stallone movie is on Rotten Tomatoes? Is it
Stop or Mom Will Shoot?
It's not Rhinestone.
Rhinestone's there, but Stop My Mom Shoot got really hammered. I didn't see the whole movie, so I don't really know. You only thing I have the is whole sport movie? Jacket. Yeah.
Well, I haven't looked up Stop or My Mom Will Shoot, but it's at least going to be a tie because Staying Alive from 1983
is
it's at zero.
Zero tomatoes?
Yes.
What's that mean? That means like the worst it can be?
They weren't fans.
No tomatoes.
Yes, until they implement the minus tomato, it is as low as it can go.
Oh,
might be a 0.5 tomato and they round it down. You don't have to be
my
negative.
My breakthrough movie that changed my life didn't even get a tomato.
Oh, I forgot about The Specialist. That's at 7%. Stop or My Mom Will Shoot is 7% as well.
Is that
my
good
favorite?
Or bad?
It's not great.
None of it's
good.
It's
a 1 to 100 scale.
Well, yeah. How do they rate it? If you get 10 tomatoes, is that good or bad?
No, you want to be above 60 tomatoes.
It's a weird, it's a percentage thing.
So
but,
we're Staying Alive at zero is like the worst it can get.
Who wants 100 tomatoes?
And is that like the worst? Many. Is that
you
the
get
worst
heartburn.
You get at 100, a zero?
It's a percentage thing. Well, look at it as a math test. 100% is great. 60% is not so good, but passable. Zero is
you were sick that day.
My God. I didn't know that. Wow.
You gotta repeat. All right.
I wonder what Rocky got. Yeah, probably good.
Oh, Rocky's gotta be high.
90s.
I want to give a plug to Frank Stallone and the movie Stallone. Frank, that is. Very good documentary. Lots of great names in it. And eye-opening, I would call it. It's available Tuesday, January 19th on iTunes, Amazon Prime, and Google Play as well. So check that out. Frank, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. It was great. I'll see you in Palm Beach.
Hey, we'll see you. And be nice to the Kerp, would you, Frank?
I will.
All right, good.
All right.
He's a good guy.
All right,
Frank.
Guys.
Lots of love, Frank.
Thank you.
Lots of love. There's my little baby brother.
Well, love that guy. See, Kyle will hang around. We'll do the news. But
he did not want me to be Sly.
Let me check.
He did not want to talk to me as Sylvester. I bet it's weird for him. Like, talk to your fake brother. It's probably weird.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if you did a great impression of Lauren Carolla.
How much you like
how that would
Now imagine you're promoting a documentary about yourself after all these years. You're finally in the spotlight. Hey, funny guy, come on and do Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, he's got a good sense of humor.
Hey, unless I'm looking at this wrong, it looks like Rocky's 94, but 69 with the audience.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Isn't that weird?
That's about a white guy beat up on black guys.
Yeah. Great movie. I think some of those are newer. All right. Take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll do the news with Kyle and Gene and Bald right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gene or Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gene or Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gene or Grad.
The news with Gene or Grad.
Well, as we mentioned yesterday, an internal FBI bulletin says armed protests are being planned at all 50 state capitals on Inauguration Day. That's as well as the U.S. Capitol. According to the FBI, it's also received recent information about a group asking for the storming of the state, local and federal government buildings and courthouses if Donald Trump is removed from office before Inauguration Day. And meanwhile, crowdfunding website GoFundMe is banning people from raising money to fund travel expenses for political events following riots. But the thing that really stood out is, Adam, I think this is a guy you might be jealous of and definitely cannot relate to. A U.S. Capitol rioter caught on camera clutching disposable restraints while wearing paramilitary gear is a former bartender from Nashville who stormed the Senate with his mom according to the report on Sunday. Yeah. 30-year-old Eric Munchell photographed holding the zip tie like handcuffs while he climbed over press gallery chairs, said he and his 57-year-old mother, Lisa Eisenhart, breached the building. Eisenhart is a nurse. She said she and her son drove from Tennessee to fight the powers that be, including the press and liberal elected officials.
Well, definitely not a Jew. Number one. Number two, I started hearing about zip ties and pipe bombs, and this thing officially got scary. Now, I know everyone was scared before I was scared, but pipe bombs and zip ties, that is fucking, that's hideous.
The devices, yeah, were supposedly like working devices that just didn't go off.
Don't forget to bring your zip ties. Well, she was mommy about
thanks,
it.
Thanks, Mom.
Well, yeah.
I have a mom.
Mom.
God.
I gassed up the Oldsmobile. Did you get time off the nursing job?
I did, Mom.
Yeah, I got a pipe bomb and I got the zip ties. Now we're going to go over there and implement a little frontier justice.
I put wax on the fuse. It works.
Okay. I'm not, no one's critiquing you. Did you get the duct tape?
Yes, God.
Okay. You're kind of whiny for an anarchist.
Oh, my God.
I'm not saying that Dad made the right decision all those years ago, but I think there's a reason he's not here. Now, I asked you.
I'm glad he left.
Did you bring the box of flares?
Oh, my God. Stop. I have them.
Okay, Mom. Sorry. And by the way, it's going to be a long drive, and I know you're a registered nurse. And if you put your hand on my goddamn wrist to get my pulse more than every 70 miles, I will fucking open up a can of whoop-ass on you inside that Oldsmobile. And scene. All right, Gina, sorry.
Well, to your point about the bomb mechanism stuff, they're still trying to figure out if that was supposed to be a diversion or if they were there to actually take hostages. This is all being investigated. The TSA, as we know, is involved with a no-fly list. But this is affecting others as well. So you know how President Trump was very excited about giving the Medal of Freedom to Bill Belichick? Bill is not interested. He is turning down the medal. He issued a statement Monday explaining his decision. He said, "Recently, I was offered the opportunity to receive the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which I was flattered by out of respect for what the honor represents and admiration for prior recipients. Subsequently, the tragic events of last week occurred and the decision has been made not to move forward with the award." And he also said, "Continuing the efforts of social justice, equality, and human rights while remaining true to the people, team, and country I love outweigh the benefits of any individual award."
I know Kyle does a killer Bill Belichick, so I think he should just read that statement.
How does Bill Belichick sound?
No one's ever heard him speak. Only
is that more than a full sentence at a time.
Oh, okay.
Just one of the mamasans at Orchids of Asia. That's the only time. It's the only time he speaks. He's done 7,000 press conferences, never uttered a word.
Let's say he talks like this.
That's his stock and trade. I think everyone and Bill has probably realized that what's he got? 6.5 more days,
right?
And then that'll be that. Like, who the hell would want to be in a photo op with Trump? First off, Bill Belichick is in a profession where 74% of the people he works with are African American. You know what I mean? Like, he's got to get on that team bus.
Right.
And does anyone want pictures of Donald Trump putting a medallion over your head and shaking hands and smiling?
It's radioactive.
Like, yes. Everyone has just got to be like, there's 6.5 more days. They're not going to fucking go near there.
I think you take it, because when you die, that's what they say. The awards, that's on the list. And they forget where you got them.
Maybe I'm naive. You guys cut this up for me. What's in it for Trump to offer the medal at this point? Like, I mean, not what's in it, but I mean, what is the stated motivation? You're just a real good coach and a hell of a guy. So as my last act as president, come on over here and get this. I'm naive. I don't
understand. I would assume, though this is just speculation, that when you're when you're down like he is right now, you try and pull in any friend you can find. And if you want to bribe him with a medal, you bribe him with a medal. And when that person says no, then you rolled the dice and it didn't work out.
He probably told him 17 years ago, if I'm ever president, what would that conversation sound like between Bill Belichick and Donald Trump from 2004, Kyle Dunnigan, where he jokingly promised him to give him the medal if he ever became
hammered.
President. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Bill, I got one. What's if I'm ever president, pretty likely, the way things are going, I'll give you a medal. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
Yeah. And don't turn it down. Be a douche. That's a douche move. If ever I become president and then you turn it down, that would be you being a douchebag. Would you agree?
You said it.
Okay. Terrific. And scene.
He's never said more than three words in a row.
I think he probably promised him many years ago he would do it for him. That's my speculation.
There's a little more family strife because at this point, Ivanka said she will attend the inauguration, and Dad isn't super thrilled about that.
Why would she be invited?
Well, I think wouldn't they all be invited?
Does she have an official role? Does she have like a title?
Yeah. She's part of the administration, isn't she? I mean, she's not princess. Just the daughter.
She's princess. She's
princess. She's duchess. No, but they are invited and nobody else is planning on going. But the thinking is that she feels that she has a political career ahead of herself. And, you know, why not, you know, shake hands and kiss babies and be sort of more available.
Great boobs.
Great boobs. Great jaw structure. Makes sense.
Yeah, kind of. I'm like, I don't think she's going to get hurt politically for not showing up, although she might score some points for showing up. Like, I really don't know. I will say, after doing Celebrity Apprentice, when I was done with that show, I was so impressed with her. Like, I just thought she was so on top of everything. She was totally eloquent and clear. Like, she had this great sort of business mind. Like, you know, obviously this is pre-Trump presidential whispers even. But at the end of that experience, I was like, she has it going on. This chick is competent. Like, she just kind of owned it when she walked in, but not in an arrogant way. And I wouldn't be surprised if she was thinking about some sort of political future.
Yeah. And if that is her thinking, I would imagine she would be thinking, if I go to the inauguration, I'm not going to lose anyone who already supports me, but I could definitely gain a few fans, you know, just by being the one reaching across the aisle. So we'll see. It's still not. I think someone under her said, like, what are you talking about? She's not going. But the rumor is she's the only one in the family that will be going. And Donald's not super excited about it.
Yeah.
Ask and ye shall receive. We have some hot off the press Brendan Fraser news.
Oh, good.
Sent to all of you. Then I don't know how you missed it. So we were trying to figure out where in the hell is Brendan Fraser? Well, he's here, 52 years old, by the way. He's teaming up with director Darren Aronofsky to star as a morbidly obese recluse in The Whale, according to Variety. The film, which is an adaptation of Samuel D. Hunter's play, focuses on a 600-pound middle-aged man, Charlie, who's attempting to reconnect with his 17-year-old daughter after he abandoned the family for a gay lover. After his partner passed away, Charlie turned to compulsive eating to cope with his grief. According to the outlet, The Whale was critically acclaimed when it made its off-Broadway debut in 2012. It got an outstanding Drama Desk Award. And in 2018, this is what we were talking about the other day, Fraser told GQ that Philip Burke, and we mentioned this, former president of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, groped him from behind in 2003. The actor admitted the incident made him retreat It made him feel more reclusive. Frazier also told the outlet that the Hollywood Foreign Press Association tried to get him to sign an agreement that stated he was joking about the claim. And Burke said that this was a total fabrication. But Brendan did not sign such documents.
I'm just thinking what voice Kyle Dunnigan can do as it pertains to the story. That's all.
How about Bill Maher says, who cares about Brendan Fraser? Okay.
Were you at the luncheon, Bill?
Oh, the lunch. Oh, is that when he got groped?
Yes.
Yeah, from behind.
So Brendan Fraser became a recluse because he got groped. Is that the story?
Yeah, it's basically.
Okay, let me open up my folder. Okay, here it is. Who cares? Let me put that in there.
Oh, you don't care? You don't miss Brendan Fraser's work?
That's an excuse for not getting jobs. Okay.
Oh,
but you don't think
I'm sorry. If someone grabbed my hiney, I still would be able to do real time. Okay.
But you don't think it's traumatic to some actors to be physically assaulted that way?
It sounded like someone touched his hiney for 2 seconds. I'm sorry. That's not a big deal.
Mr. Maher, we did talk on the show the other day that there was possible taint involvement.
Oh, who cares about the taint? Nothing goes on with the taint. It could be on your shoulder. That's just an in-between area.
Okay. Bill, let's do a little role playing.
Oh, great.
You could play a sexual assault grief counselor.
This isn't me being sarcastic, by the way. Oh, great. I can't wait to do this bit.
You're a sexual assault counselor.
Counselor, okay.
Yeah, grief counselor. I'll be Brendan Fraser explaining I was just groped by the...
Come on in, Brendan. Let's hear about your story.
Well, I was a
tennis... So what happened to you?
I was at a luncheon for the Hollywood Foreign Press.
Okay, bunch of douchebags. Okay.
Yeah, well, as it turns out, I agree with you now because the leader of the Hollywood Foreign Press actually groped me before
When you say groped, can you be a little more specific?
Well, he took his right hand, and okay. I can tell he's right-handed because I saw him writing something down. He had the pen in his right hand, so he took his good hand.
You're like Columbo. Okay.
Okay, I'm trying to I'm pretty broken up.
Oh, you are?
Yes, I am.
You can't even do a movie for 15 years because of this.
I don't know what the future holds. All I'm saying is I'm pretty upset about this sexual assault.
Okay, he touched your taint, is what I heard.
Oh, you'd heard that?
On the Adam Carolla show, I heard someone touched your taint.
This happened 15 minutes ago. I came right to your office. I can't believe the news beat me here.
Well, it's a good Adam Carolla's on it. Especially that Gina Grad. What a piece.
Have you ever had your taint touched, Bill?
Yes. I say move your fingers 2 inches to the north, bitch.
So you're saying you appreciate having your taint touched?
It doesn't do anything.
Mm.
Okay. Mm. I'm sorry, I'm talking to Brendan. Mm. So someone touched your taint, so you couldn't do a movie? You became a recluse? Is that what I'm hearing?
I didn't feel safe anymore being outside.
You didn't feel safe.
Yeah.
Okay.
I felt
And none of this has to do with the fact that all your other movies stink.
Hey, speaking of my career, I haven't been on your show since you were doing PI.
Oh yeah, we have famous people on now.
I'm pretty recognizable.
People whose taints get touched and then they continue to wake up in the morning and do work. Those people.
Shots fired.
Oh, geez, Bill. I came here for some solace. I didn't know you were going to.
Oh, time's up. You owe me $100.
And scene. All right. Let's do another one, Gina Grad.
Oh, good. Because this one has a little special surprise buried within it. So a manhunt is underway for 6 inmates who broke out of a California prison by climbing to the 20-foot high roof, an escape that wasn't discovered until the next day, according to Fox News. This is in Merced County. So the Merced County Sheriff said they used a makeshift rope out of braided sheets and were able to come down the side of the building.
That's how they escaped in Tango and Cash.
That was what I was going to say.
They went
is
up
my
to
favorite
the roof.
Sylvester Stallone movie.
They went up to the roof of the building and they escaped with a zip line.
That's right.
They stole my idea.
Was that your idea, Mr. Stallone?
Of course it was. We were trying to figure out how do we get down from the roof. You know, as we're writing the script. And I said, what if there's like a rope of some kind? These are the kind of ideas that you know, make a great film. Don't, not the bag.
But don't you think most people would have that idea if you're on the roof and you had to get down?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I could be wrong, but I think everyone was pretty stumped.
But you think they'd be like a giant stork?
Yeah, we talked about a stork.
Oh, you did?
Some sort of giant crane was originally in the script.
Explore every idea.
Mm-hmm. But they were like, how does a crane get there? And who's operating became a problem. Anyway, eventually I came up with that idea. So that is nice to hear that people escaped with my idea.
It's probably because they watched the movie. But the thing that's crazy about this is the sheriff went on to say that. So you might wonder, why didn't they discover this until the next morning if this happened at night? Mm-hmm. Well, they do have officers walking up and down cell blocks, but they're no longer allowed to wake prisoners up because they deemed it necessary for them to have a good night's sleep.
So like this is daycare.
If you're just walking by and you see some, you know, something bundled under the bed, that has to be good enough for you. He added that the prison has been facing staffing shortages in recent years due to state and local budget cuts. The inmates are, remember, there's six of them between 19 and 21 years old. Three of them are facing murder charges and two have been accused of firearms offenses. So they're on the loose because we didn't want to disturb their slumber in the middle of the night.
What city are they in?
They're in Merced County.
Oh, Merced County. I feel like we always catch up to those guys, right?
Yeah. Well, this happened the other day, and I've been waiting for news, but no, they're still on the loose as far as Fox is concerned.
Well, where's Merced County? What is that?
Merced?
Northern?
No, between San Jose and Fresno.
San Jose.
It feels very northern to me.
Sly, you know where San Jose and Fresno is?
Well, those towns. Never heard of those towns before.
Yeah, well, it's up north, like the around San Francisco, or
that's what Canada is.
Pretty big city.
There's another couple states in between.
Yeah, it's a confusing story, Gina. Sorry to put you down, but that story made no sense.
Are you not familiar with Washington State or Oregon?
Washington State, that's where the president is, of course. I am familiar with the United States and Washington.
Okay, I stand corrected.
You know,
you're probably right.
I realize our batting average is very high on finding escaped prisoners, right? They always find
them. Seems to be.
And
yes.
If I was a warden, I would just announce everyone's first day. I would go, look, we caught you when you had a wallet, a car, and shoes. If you attempt to escape this prison, you will be wearing pajamas with no money and barefoot. You don't think, and you'll be in very close proximity of the prison.
To the prison.
So when we caught you, you were several hundred miles away from here. You had friends. You had a network. You had an automobile. You had a passport, an ID. There are many options you had, and yet we caught you.
And you probably weren't in bright orange.
Good luck in your orange pajamas, barefoot, with no cash and no ID right next to the prison. Good luck.
Not well fed either.
Right. So let's. Right. So spare me the charade and let's not go through this again. What are the chances we don't catch you again?
And there's six of them, which on one hand, I think it makes things easier. But on the other hand, if they all fan out, I don't know how many of them are sticking together.
You think there's arguments about fanning out? Like you think if someone just went, all right, fan out, and they all went the same direction, there wouldn't be a huge argument. Like, come on, you know I'm a Southwest guy.
So they're Abbott and Costello or what?
We clearly discussed this on the handball court not a week ago.
We should stick together. Who said that?
All right. There was a funny... I don't know. There was a comedian a million years ago, and I cannot remember who it was, but he had this joke that always kind of made me laugh, where it was like the notion of a posse, like get everyone into the center of town, everyone gather up, everyone get in. And then he'd go, all right, now spread out. And it was like it was this notion of getting everyone together and then telling everyone to run away from each other. Well, hopefully they'll be caught. Because, like, if you're an international jewel thief and you break out, or you're an embezzler, or you're something like that, maybe. But, you know, when it comes to the guns and the murder and that kind of shit, it'd be nice to catch you. All right, let's do one more, Gina Grad.
All right. Well, Eugene, Oregon is taking a new approach to sheltering the homeless by building something that I had never heard of before. Maybe you have, called Conestoga Huts. Have you heard of that?
No.
I'll show you a picture of them. So they're these 60 square foot indoor living spaces. They're weatherproof. They provide a place to store your things. And if it kind of looks like a covered wagon, that is, there's a reason for that.
Oh,
so they look
yeah.
like a Conestoga wagon, mm-hmm. which was the precursor to the prairie schooner over wagons that helped the settlers. So it really does look like the top of a covered wagon. The hut's designer says these structures are stronger and more permanent than tents, and they cost about $2,500, whereas a tiny home cost between $10,000 to $20,000. And these little tent, or these homes, these Conestoga homes, take a few hours to put up. Tiny homes take weeks. So this may be the new direction in terms of housing people.
It's sort of like we're getting to the point where it's like everyone is waiting for the Rose Parade that takes place the next morning. Like everyone is just hitting the streets, hunkering down, waiting it out. But I always wonder, like, on the other hand, you go, well, let's have some good shelter for these people. But aren't there just going to be more people that are living this way? And is it going to turn into a shit show? And my thing is I will give you one of these huts, but I got to see you up in the morning working. Like, you gotta, here's the deal. If the city's gonna pay for this, you gotta pay off your debt. I don't know. Maybe they call it indentured servitude. I don't know. But I mean, I want you up picking up litter in the morning. I want you trimming the ivy by the side of the freeway. I want you water blasting or pressure washing the graffiti. Like, I want an army of people just walking around like catfish and just taking up everything that's on the ground. Like, you can't sit in there and slam drugs. I need you working.
Yeah. And you can lock it, which I think is, you know, is maybe good and bad. But one woman, and look, I don't know if this is the norm. This is the person they found to interview. But she said, you know, I'd like to get a job, you know, at the grocery store. I'd like to just get a job anywhere that's hiring. But when I don't have an address and I'm carrying everything I own with me, who's going to employ me? So if you have a place to store everything and technically they'll give you an address, now you can start thinking about being a part of society again, as opposed to like, well, let me show up with I have my own grocery cart for the grocery job.
If this is part of a larger rehabilitation, I'm all for it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. All right. Let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad! That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right. Well, as mentioned, Naples, Florida, off the hook this weekend. Kyle Dunnigan's going to be with us doing stand-up there as well. I want to thank Frank Stank Stallone. I want to thank Frank Stallone for zooming in today. Stallone, Frank, that is, the doc, Jason Whitlock. You can check him out at blaze.com, and also shoot him a tweet at Whitlock Jason. Kyle Dunnigan, of course, they got a new YouTube series, At Home with Sly Stallone. You can subscribe at youtube.com/Kyle Dunnigan, and shoot him an Instagram or tweet. The Instagram is at Kyle Dunnigan 1, and a tweet is Kyle Dunnigan, and the website KyleDunniganComedy.com as well. So, thanks, Kyle. Until next time, Sam Crawford, Gina Grad, and Paul Bryan saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. If you want to leave us a voicemail, please do 888-634-1744. And grab Adam's book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. Pick it up now. Get the links at adamcarolla.com.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan.
It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.